This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August the 31st, episode 1246. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year. This
is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
Maybe.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to round up Jamie yet. So we assume that she's going to stop by at some point this morning. Now, I hear she did pretty well at the track. So I don't know. Maybe there was a little partying yesterday. I'm not sure.
We don't know this for a fact, but rumor has it.
So Coach Jen is going to be sitting in until Jamie arrives here, hopefully today. And because we got to hear all about her weekend and what happened over there. And she had her fancy press passes to go over to Del Mar.
I think it was insider betting. She had those press passes and she got a hold of the local bookie there and was getting some inside intel.
Well, judging from what she posted on Facebook, she should be a bookie. She should be her own bookie. That's what I called her the other day when she texted me because, of course, she had to text and how well she did. So,
maybe she took offense to that.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's why she's not here.
Our little bookie Jamie. I'm sure she'll be around here. Let's hope everything's okay. Well, we do have a show planned for you today, and we're going to start off with Jennifer telling us what's coming up.
That's what I do. Following the rehash of this year's most disappointing race, the Travers, listener Robin is going to call in and regale us with a recounting of her trip to Mackinac Island, everybody's favorite here at Horse Radio Network. And then we'll go a little off course and have a horse health segment on a Monday. This time it's all about scratches. And Wiley stops by to catch us up on the latest from the Wacky World of Horse Station. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, let's get started with our daily winnings. Well, my daily winnie goes out to our auditor, Mona, who posted that she had emergency surgery yesterday. She was in our last auditor's roundtable number 3, and she had to go in the hospital for emergency surgery. Everything is okay. She said she's going to be released today, and that the saltines in hospitals, she thinks, are saltier. So that's... you would think they'd be less salty in hospitals, but... But we're wishing her...
They are saltier, but that is the only food served in hospital patients that has any flavor at all.
That's true.
Any.
So we're wishing her a speedy recovery and hope she's back in the saddle shortly.
And my daily Winnie is one of these. There we go. Thank you, Facebook. Happy birthday to Denise Raymond, one of my riding buddies and a longtime listener right down here in Ocala, Florida.
Thank you for listening, Denise, and happy birthday. Well, we were going to start the conversation today with Jamie's Del Mar trip, but maybe we'll get to that a little later. So I guess we're going to have to start with American Pharoah. And I know. But, you know, we got to talk about it sometime.
It's part of the healing process.
Okay, I'm going to play the race because I know you probably don't want to hear it again. But this time I want you to listen to it in a different way, okay? I want you to listen to it in that I think this was one of Larry Comas's best calls. So,
really?
Yeah, listen to Larry.
He's got some gems,
I know. Listen to Larry at the end of this race. And I know when you watched on TV, you were just like Jennifer and I. You were so heartbroken that you didn't hear it, right? So I'm going to play it again so you just have the sound and you can listen to his call. He really picks it up after the quarter pole there. So let's take a listen.
Here's Larry Comas.
They're off in the Travers. And American Pharoah had a great start. He goes straight to the front, and Frosted is away well. And Frosted is just to the outside of the Triple Crown winner early. And then it's Smart Transition running in third. Upstart is fourth. Texas Red fifth. Keen Ice is sixth on the outside as they pass Bias, and then Mid-Ocean Fomento. Tale of Verve and King of New York is the trailer. So American Pharoah gets some early pressure here in the Travers. Frosted is kept close to the pace, and Smart Transition is third. The opening quarter mile was a soft one, though. It was 24 and one-fifth seconds. Upstart is tucked in. He's now third, and Smart Transition is back to fourth. And then it's Texas Red and Keen Ice, a separation of five to Mid-Ocean, and it's a long way more back to the others. And they're followed by Tale of Verve, Fomento, and King of New York. And a Triple Crown winner moves on to the backstretch at Saratoga. American Pharoah is the leader, and Frosted is keeping him company up the backstretch. He's three-quarters of a length behind him. And then it's Smart Transition, Upstart, right together. Keen Ice is fifth behind them. Kent DeSormo and Texas Red are six lengths behind American Pharoah, who continues to be pressed along by Frosted. And they went a half mile in 48 and one. And at the half mile pole, these two are together. And they've gone three quarters in 111 and two. American Pharoah by a head. And Frosted is taking it to him on the far turn. Frosted is right alongside of American Pharoah. And now Victor Espinosa has to ask American Pharoah to go. And Frosted continues to cling to him on the outside as they round the far turn. They're four lengths ahead of Keen Ice. And as they turn for home, American Pharoah has lost the lead at the top of the stretch. Frosted on the outside is now in front. But American Pharoah is battling on from the inside. He's showing all this fight with one furlong to run. And here on the far outside comes Keen Ice with a late threat. American Pharoah put away Frosted. He has to deal with Keen Ice. Keen Ice has got him. Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharoah in a dramatic upset. Frosted was third and Upstart was fourth, and a final time of 201.57 seconds. The Graveyard of Champions has claimed another.
I need a moment.
I know. But wasn't his call good? I mean, he got so excited he lost his voice there at the end.
I think he was just a touch surprised, too, that Keen Ice made a second run.
Yeah, you know? He was. You could tell at the end there, he just got so excited. And, you know, Larry still is one of the best race callers ever. He really is. Does such a good job with that. Well, oh, so much to talk about here. You know, he said Graveyard of Champions, and that's what this race has been. The Travers has been a Graveyard of Champions, and Saratoga as well. You know, if you go back in history, Man of War suffered his sole defeat in his career and was beaten by Upset in Saratoga in 1919.
Well, so I think we should take this line. It was all the starters' fault that Man O' War lost, so I think we should blame the starter.
Well, there's some other blaming going on. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, controversy.
Triple Crown winner Gallant Fox went down to 100-1 shot. That means nobody bet on that horse. In the 101 shot's name was Dandy in the 1930 Travers, and Secretariat even was outpointed by Onion in the 1973 Whitney. So a lot of horses have gone down at Saratoga through the years, and now we have a Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah, doing the same. Zayat was so rocked by the loss, and you could tell the look in his face. Now, the story behind this is Zayat wanted to do the Travers. This was a personal mission of his. It is not something that Bob Baffert wanted to do, that the trainer wanted to do. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's what the rumor mill says, yes.
Yes, so he wanted to just wait until we get to the Breeders' Cup. Well, Zayat really wanted to do the Travers. And this is what he said. He was so rocked by the loss that his immediate response was to suggest the horse may have run his last race. My gut's saying if the horse shows us that he's not the Pharaoh I know, then there's no question in my mind what I think is to retire him. He doesn't owe anybody anything. So, you know, there were a lot of people that said, well, retire him before. I'm glad they didn't retire him to this point. You know, I really am glad that I'm sad he lost, but I'm also glad they hadn't retired him.
But on the other hand, coming in second in a single race isn't.
He still won the Triple Crown.
That's not saying that Pharaoh's finished either.
And he beat this horse several times. I mean, he did beat this horse several times. Now, one of the comments that Jennifer and I made as we were watching the race on Saturday Night Live was that, it was very obvious that Frosted was there to make a race of it and to really push American Pharaoh to keep the lead. Mm-hmm. Well, Frosted's normal jockey was hurt a couple races beforehand, and that's normally Joel Rosario. Mm-hmm. He was injured in a spill, so we had another jockey sit in, and that was Jose Lescano. Mm-hmm. Well, Victor Espinoza, riding American Pharaoh, I know there are all these Mexican names, you have to keep them all straight. Victor Espinoza said that Jose Lescano was trying to hurt American Pharaoh. And you know, when they came around that final turn, I said to you, there's a lot of bumping going on there, and he was pushing him into the rail. I almost thought they were going to ask for an interference call there.
Yeah.
Well, and this is what Victor Espinoza says. He put Frost's chest right on America's Pharaoh's hip, and he did. He hit me 5 or 6 times. I almost went into the rail. I understand that everybody in the race is trying to beat American Pharaoh. I think he was trying to hurt American Pharaoh. I don't think Rosario would have ridden him like that.
Ooh.
So he is taking a direct shot at this jockey.
Throw him under the bus. Well, even if it was not him trying to hurt the horse, that sounds a little kind of crazy, just because who wants to get killed doing this?
Where emotions
but
were.
I agree
high.
That there was way too much contact in that final turn.
Yeah, there was. Now, Lescano denied the accusation, saying that never happened. His horse was coming out, meaning coming off the rail. Well, his horse was trying to come off the rail.
There was no room to come off the rail.
Now, Espinoza did say that American Pharaoh began sweating profusely at the starting gate, something he had not seen before, riding him in 8 consecutive victories. Just when I turned him around to take him back to the gate, he started to sweat. Then it got really bad. I had to wipe the sweat off the mane with my whip. He's never been like that before. So who knows? Maybe there was something else going on, too.
Mm-hmm. Days from now, there'll be a headline on the blood horse. American Pharaoh comes down with fever. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? But I do know that it was certainly an exciting race, and he had beaten that horse 3 other times.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have him come up, and that horse was flying. I mean, that horse was just flying.
Well, was he flying or were
the
leaders
it was American
not?
Pharaoh fading, you know.
See, there's the difference. Yeah.
And I'm not sure that Espinoza, I think Espinoza knew he had a handle on Frosted at that point, but I don't think he knew the other horse was coming up.
I think Key Nice coming up on that second kick like that, I think that surprised everybody a little bit. Yeah.
And how about my horse that I picked early on before American Pharaoh? We had the owners on. Texas Red was a nothing.
He was a dud.
Yeah.
Texas Red's going to be an amazing event horse.
Yes, I think he's going to be an eventer.
I think we should contact the owners now and get him online.
He's an eventer before long here. Jeez. Yeah, Texas Red was really out of the running the whole time.
Yep.
Well, that was a sad day. It was definitely a sad day. And we'll see. Now we'll see if they're going to run him, you know, in the fall.
Come back,
Keeneland.
Or they just retire him, yeah.
Or, you know, is he going to be there or not? So we're going to find out. Well, I think we'll hear sooner rather than later, actually. I think there's a little powwow going on this week with Bob Baffert and the Zayats.
Yeah, I would love to be a fly on that wall.
Yeah, I'm sure there was some heated words going. Of course, what can Baffert say? He's making a fortune off this horse. And the Zayats, what's he going to say? You know, he's not going to go in and make a fuss. Too bad. I don't know. I hope they do run him. I hope they do run him at Keeneland. We'll see. He has a chance then to redeem himself.
That's right.
Well, let's do this, and we'll see if Jamie's going to pop in here. Why don't we take and go back in time a little bit, because it's a problem that we're having a lot here in Florida, and I know other people have said the same thing, and that is scratches. Scratches have become an issue, and we did a segment on scratches a couple of years ago in the horse health segment, and we had a couple of people asking where that segment was and how to find it, and we thought, well, we'll just replay it if it's a problem for everybody right now. And then I'll tell you what we've done for Scooter, who seems to have scratches all the time. And we'll do that when we come back. But for right now, and also we have Robin coming up on a trip to Mackinac Island, which is on Jennifer and I's bucket list for sure.
Dr. Jones, can you start out by telling us a little bit about what scratches is? So first, I think we need to start out to say that, you know, this is on the lower leg for people who haven't dealt with it. It's usually on the lower leg, right?
Yes, it's always in the pastern area. It has many names attached to it. Greasy heel is another name, if you guys have heard this. Scratches. But it's in the pastern area, sometimes kind of goes up around the fetlock and maybe up into the cannon bone of horses that are more predisposed to it, which are feathered horses. So you know the feathers don't just start in the pastern, they start a little higher up, so you can get this greasy heel, scratches, pastern dermatitis. I'm trying to think of all the different fun names. I guess you have mud fever. I've never heard of that one. All these names for this area, and it's usually the pastern is the primary culprit, but can go higher because feathered horses, which would be your draft horses, but is your gypsy vanners, anything that has a little excessive hair back in the like pastern area. Frisians, yes, would be culprits to this. So if you have a cross, a lot of people are liking to cross, like to cross with Frisians or Clydesdales, and you have horses that have a little bit of feathers, but you are clipping them off, you're helping that horse out a lot because it seems that the hair is trapping the moisture, which is starting this whole process. So
what kind of organism is it that's causing it?
Primarily it's bacterial. But here in Florida, we have a wonderful other organism that loves to jump in while the bacteria is having a party and have a party with them, and it's fungal. It seems like anything that gets wet and moist here in Florida, you just almost assume has a fungal aspect to it as well. So corneal ulcers in the eye, you don't see fungal corneal ulcer issues up north, but you see them a lot here in Florida. Pastern dermatitis, bacterial, but also fungal infections. You can kind of get the bacteria under control, but you got to take care of the fungal infection as well. But bacteria is the primary culprit.
So does that mean it's infectious? Can they pass it to each other?
No. The ones that are infectious are the mange, which also is a differential. So when you see this, you can't just assume that when the horse is scratching their legs and they're getting these wounds on their lower leg, fetlock, and pastern area, that it's definitely a greasy heel or a pastern dermatitis. It could also be mange in a horse, and we'll see that more in draft horses with the feathers than you'll see in the light breed horses. Light breed horses can get this pastern dermatitis, and why do they get it? Usually because they're standing out in a lot of dew in the pasture in the morning, and or they're stepping down to the lake to kind of cool off their feet in the summertime, and they can get a little bit of moisture and bacteria build up on the surface.
Okay. So once that gets going, what is it going to look like? Can you describe it a little bit?
Well, I don't think it will look as bad as what Jamie described.
No.
That was an extreme case. This is for you, Glenn. If you catch it early, it won't get as bad as Jamie's. How's that?
Okay, good. So, glad to hear that.
The The comment is said that usually you see it in white-legged horses, so those who have socks and stockings on a hind limb or the forelimb. Mostly it's seen in the hind limb for some reason. I see it a lot in the forelimb and the draft horses, so I say any of the limbs can affect. It is a reddened and scabby area that gets really swollen and inflamed in the pastern area, and again, fetlocking can go higher in the feathered horses. And what the problem is it continues to trap moisture in that area, which makes a great environment for bacteria to grow. Then you get the secondary bacterial infections that are very common, and that adds more trauma to the skin and more due diligence on trying to treat it. So initially you can start off trying to treat it topically with some of the over-the-counter medications at the feed stores, but the primary thing you have to do is make sure that it stays dry. And you can, they've blown dry, believe it or not. A very well-known Clydesdale hitch will blow dry the feathers so that they can keep them from getting this dermatitis, because they do rinse them every day and they do clean their feathers every other day. So they have to blow dry that area to keep them from getting this grease heel. You can towel dry your own horses after you bathe them or rinse them.
Do you suggest a flat iron for feathers? I mean, is that something we'd like to incorporate? Does it help make it look more luxurious? Because I do prefer, when I blow dry, to use my flat iron as well. Go ahead.
I have never gotten into the care of those feathers. They have visited my clinic, and they're very disappointed when they go home with, you know, dirt and mud on the bottom of their feathers, because they're enjoying themselves out in my pastures. So I let them be horses here. So anyway, I think I was dropped off a bar of Castile soap one time so I could keep the feathers clean. It didn't really quite work well. I was a little more focused on my medicine than I was on keeping the feathers clean.
I would imagine.
Anyway,
flat iron.
So the keeping them dry is your big thing. So those people that are getting it on a light breed horse that don't have feathers and don't have those issues to worry about, and they're scratching their head going, okay, I clean my horse, I watch their legs, I make sure they don't get any cuts or scratches and stuff like that, but yet now I'm getting this pastern dermatitis, what do I do? Don't turn them out in your pastures with dew on your pasture. Wait till it dries, so it's late morning, and bring them in if it starts to rain. So in Florida here, that'd be late afternoon would be when it starts to rain. So they'd be out from about 10 in the morning until about 3 in the afternoon or 2 in the afternoon, depending on when the rain came in. And that's the best way to fight it once you start seeing it.
The hard part in Florida is most, you know, a lot of these people, we live in a equestrian community now, they just leave their horses out all the time. They're running sheds or, you know, some kind of structure like that. So they're getting exposed to this all the time. And it's dewy here every morning.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. And it will be. It will be.
And,
right.
And here, so those, here in Central Oregon, we're in the desert and on dry lot, but the horses are pastured on irrigated pastures. And so, especially flood irrigation, once things are wet, it's hard to get them dry again. So that's when we start fighting with this. And I had, because I've dealt with it in a fjord and a halflinger with the heavier feathering on the legs.
Feathers.
But I also have dealt with it in an older Appaloosa. Is it, are older horses more susceptible to it, or was that just that particular horse?
No, you can see it in older. I had it on a young horse, which was an Arab cross. She had four stockings. Mom was in the hospital with chemotherapy, and so the sons were taking care of the horse, and they were just being turned out like they normally are all day long. And her legs puffed up all the way up to her knees and all the way up to her hocks, because she got such a bad secondary bacterial infection from this pastern dermatitis that she acquired. And she was a younger horse, so I think it's immune-related in that respect. But you still can see it on a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old. It's the environment they live in is the primary culprit. And then your care is going to be secondary and taking care of all that. If you don't stay on top of it, it will explode to like this little filly who got swollen legs and very, very sore pasterns that you could hardly even touch them. They were hot as a firecracker.
Now, you mentioned over-the-counter topical treatments. Are there any ingredients people should be looking for?
Yeah, anything that will be a drying agent in there. Betadine is a wonderful drying agent. So you can just strictly pick up some Betadine shampoo or Betadine solutions to clean off that area. It dries out. I know because I'll use it to clean wounds in the or clean up mares in the breeding season time, my hands get cracked if I don't put lotion on them because betadine will really dry out the skin nicely. But you have to towel dry. After you clean that area, towel dry it off, and that's key. You can use all those over-the-counters, but then towel dry. Don't add lotions. Don't put any kind of antibiotic ointment on there because now you're just trapping in all that wonderful bacteria that you've created. Let it dry out.
And so when is it time to get the vet involved if you've tried the topical treatments?
If they're not working, then get the vet involved because you don't want to get to the point of the swollen legs and the secondary bacterial infections. You want to stop it beforehand. Or the mag. But I hate to say it, for those feathered friends of ours, removing the feathers is key to getting it cleared up. So you need to clip the legs.
Oh,
the feathers.
Very bad. You just have them rolling over right now going,
they're
turning off their radio going, I hate Dr. Jones. I think she's a witch. You know, every one of them saying that right now.
Okay, how's this? Clip all the feathers underneath the top layer, and then you can just drop that top layer down so it looks like they got feathers. And my best way to describe it is the very top part of the fetlock or
pasture. It's like a comb over.
Yes, it's comb
kind
over
of
there.
Like a comb over,
I didn't know what that beauty salon word was, so thank you, Glenn, for that beauty salon word.
Yeah. No. This is brilliant. What you need to do, we are going to start marketing some, you know, some weave.
You
can sell to the grassroots people. It's much like, you know, the fake tail that they get for the hunters. Then we can, you know, sell some weave. And then, you know, what you do is you go up to them and you say, is that your real hair? And they're like, yeah, I bought it. That makes it mine. Okay. It works.
So can I tell a story?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So I live in Central Oregon, and the woman who invented and owned Twinkle Glitter, horse glitter, here in Bend, and she is at my barn. She rides with my trainer. She's a dressage rider, and her horse is always beautiful. It always has glitter on it, jewelry, beautiful blankets. I mean, it's just top-notch, beautiful. Oh, the horse is always decked out, and I seriously the other day saw her walking through the aisle with a set of hot curlers to go curl her horse's tail before her riding lesson.
No.
Okay.
and it's perfect because she's so wonderful and her horse is so beautiful, and that's that extra polish it takes to have a really beautiful horse. So if she had a horse that had feathers, I'm sure she would flat iron it. She's great.
That is fantastic. I cannot believe that.
But I took us off topic, so back to scratches. We have an article, number 8415, on the horse that can give you some more ideas about cleaning that up and drying up scratches, mud fever. We get lots of questions, especially from New Zealand and from Great Britain on this at thehorse.com. So thank you, Dr. Jones.
Well, Dr. Jones, before you go, you know we moved to Florida a couple days ago, and we're having our first experience. We had a couple snakes outside the house, and then we came across our first gopher turtle, which was a fascinating critter, by the way. We kind of liked that one. And then we also had our first experience with a bout of fire ants, which we seem to have an overabundance of in our property here. Do the horses ever get affected by fire ants? Do they, like, snuffle it and get their nose bitten?
Yeah, they don't get their nose bitten, but they'll lay down in them.
I
have fire ants here, and that's my horses get eaten alive by them. They're nasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you drop a horse to castrate, it's a really good idea to make sure that you don't have fire ant mound.
Yeah,
you know, when you're going to be castrate. So that's one thing. Besides looking for manure in the pasture, we also have to look for fire ant mounds in the pasture that we're going to drop them. Make sure we don't drop them on fire ants. Yes.
Did you learn that the hard way?
Yeah.
Like, get up, buddy. We got to go over here. No, you're pretty much down and in it. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, and you know, usually the technicians don't like it either, too, and they're getting bit up. And so, yeah, it's not... So you have to watch for that. But the other thing, too, Glenn, believe it or not, and Jamie, you'll be surprised by this, is we have scorpions here, too.
Don't tell Jennifer that. She's already freaked out by all the spiders. Don't talk about scorpions.
And so just be careful when you're moving logs or rocks you might have a scorpion underneath there. It won't make you sick like the ones down in the Southwest do, but it will definitely hurt in the area that they bit.
Oh, okay.
Or stung, I guess, is a better way of saying it, stung.
Great. So we'll add that to our collection of wildlife we've discovered since we moved here.
Yeah, but the snakes are good. They eat your rat and mice, so leave the snakes alone. We have rules here at my clinic. You do not kill a snake. All the rat snakes are good.
We have the one that was a rat snake we had. The other one, I'm not sure what it was. It was night. We had just arrived, and it was greeting us on our driveway at our back door.
Oh, nice. It was greeting you. So that's good. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Had a greeting committee. That's right.
Mega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And I have on the line here Kyle Carter, who is an international eventer and well-known throughout the eventing world, who uses Omega Alpha products. Kyle, I understand that you started using Omega Alpha about a year ago.
Yeah, I've been using it for about a year and have noticed a remarkable difference in the horses that have been on it. And then if they've come off of it, the horse's health always has been better on it. It's one of the few supplement companies that I wholeheartedly believe in.
Well, thank you, Kyle. You know, Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for all of their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca. Well, you know, it's interesting listening to that recording, Jennifer, because we had just moved to Florida. That's how long ago we did that. That was
isn't that funny?
That was a while back, wasn't it? Wow. And, you know, it was so funny hearing us talk about, you know, just having gotten here with the snakes and the fire. Nothing's changed, by the way.
No, it's even we've got more variety than ever now.
Yeah, apparently. We'll bring Robin into this discussion, too. Robin, are you there? Oops, Robin, we cannot hear you. Is your mic turned on?
I'm here.
Oh, there's Marvin. There you are. Yay. This is Robin Donahue from Texas, one of our listeners who's coming on. Can you hear us, Robin?
My mic is on.
Uh-oh. We can hear you. She can't hear us. We were trying to do this on Skype instead of the phone, but we might have to do it on the phone.
There's a delay.
Oh. Are you there, Robin? All right, I'm going to hang up on Robin and give her a call back on her phone. But anyway, it is funny how we'll tell everybody about the critter that we discovered that we have.
Well, it was last week sometime, it was maybe Friday, because we didn't talk about it on the show yet. But last Friday, Glenn came in from doing Glory's dawn walk because she insists on having a walk out in the front yard at dawn. Exactly.
I'm calling Robin on her phone. Sorry about that.
And came back in all excited. He had seen a really giant kitty cat leap over the fence in front of Glory, and Glory was very disappointed that she didn't get to chase it. And we were surprised because we have very, very few house cats that live outdoors here in Florida because the hawks tend to eat them. And he said, no, this couldn't possibly be a house cat because it was much too big. And then lo and behold, a couple of days later, the neighborhood email system came through that there is an exotic cat of some sort that is a little bit bigger than Glory, our 38-pound or 40-pound greyhound, living in the neighborhood somewhere, and somebody had gotten a snapshot of it, and we don't know whether it's either a juvenile panther or a lot of folks are saying bobcat. So we have
bobcats don't have tails. This one had a tail, and that's why we're kind of thinking a panther or an exotic animal that got loose from
that got loose some collection. Some Yahoo decided they
we have a lot of those people in Florida
have some pet from
locale. And they got pictures of it, and it was interesting. It looks like a panther or a large cat of some sort. But I tell you what, it's fast, and it cleared that fence by about a foot. It was, once Glory got a beat on it, it was flying, and it just cleared that fence. So it's a big cat, and there's plenty of chickens and rabbits and squirrels in the neighborhood, so it'll be well fed, that's for sure. So we'll see. We'll see if we get any more reports or if we have any more sightings of that beast that's running around. Robin, are you back?
I'm here.
All right. We got you on the phone now. I don't know what was happening with Skype there. Robin Donahue is from Texas. You've heard her here before on the show, and she's joining us this morning to talk about a trip she took recently. But thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm happy to come on anytime.
We love hearing about listeners' adventures, and you got to take one that's been on Jennifer and I's bucket list. But before we get into that, we had talked to you a little while back when you got a new Percheron for your carriage business. How is that going?
She is putting on weight like mad, and the other day I put on a grazing muzzle, and she was not happy.
I saw the video. I got to ask you why she needs a grazing muzzle. That video was under the in the woods where there was no grass.
Yeah, I don't have any grass, but I feed round bales.
Oh.
And she just lives inside one.
That's a Percheron for you.
Even my farrier had noticed that she'd put on weight between like our 7 week visit.
That's a Percheron for you. I told you that ours ate a bale of hay a day.
Yeah, thankfully she's not doing that.
Just an incredible. How's she doing? She seems to be, judging by all the pictures for the carriage business, and you do weddings and things like that. She seems to be doing great.
Yeah, she is a great horse. She and my other mare are still deciding who is boss, though. And my other mare kicks a lot, but doesn't make any impact. And my Percheron has really good aim. So I'm actually taking my standardbred mare to an orthopedic doctor on Tuesday, actually tomorrow, I guess, to have a lameness exam done because she got kicked while I was in Michigan and she's been on and off lame since. So if they'd only just get along, everybody play nice, but yeah. That's
well,
the
you
life
know what?
Having
you,
horses.
When you have a Percheron kicking you, that's like that, that size, yeah. That's, that hurts.
Yeah.
It leaves a big mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, with feet that big. And she's what, even in the 16 and a half range?
No, she's only 15-1. She's very short.
Ah, okay. I didn't realize that
she's
she was
even
that
shorter
short.
Than my standardbred. She's a short round.
Yeah, but weighs in at about 1,500 pounds.
Yes. Yes, she does. She's shorter, but twice as wide.
So tell us, what's the scoop? You took the family up to Mackinac Island. First of all, tell everybody where it is and why it's so special.
Mackinac Island is at the very, very tippy top of Michigan, and it's on the Great Lakes. And when I was looking on the map, I actually noticed that I live near Austin, Texas, and Mackinac Island is, the entire island is smaller than the Austin city limits.
Wow.
So it's incredibly small, and it's surrounded by the Great Lakes. And the special thing about it is there are no motorized vehicles allowed on the island. You get around by walking, biking, horseback riding, or horse-drawn carriage. So, and I, this was not on my bucket list until listening about it on your show. So I have you guys to thank about that.
I hope the Mackinac Island Tourist Bureau is listening to this show.
They should be. Everybody so I had the chance to tell, I was like, I've heard about you from Horses in the Morning, Horse Radio Network.
Oh, good, good. Thank you
word.
For plugging. Yay. So tell us about it. What was it like? What'd you do? Did you get to drive the carriage? You can rent carriages there and drive them around the island.
I did. That was a bucket list while we were doing the bucket list was renting the carriage. When we first got out, we did not stay on the island because it's exorbitantly expensive. So we stayed on the mainland. And we rode the ferry over. They have like super fast ferries that get you there real quick. They're like large speed boats. Very interesting. My daughters thought it was very exciting riding on the ferries. So we get over there and we had bought the carriage tour. So you hop on a carriage right off the ferry and then they take you around part of the island and then you get off at a certain point and look around. And whenever you feel like it, you get back on somebody else's carriage and it's all inclusive. And they take you with three horses hooked to the front of this big wagon through the state park. So they're doing a little bit of hill climbing and things like that. So that was exciting. And then they take you back towards town and have the option to go check out the fort. We skipped that because I wanted to do horsey things. And then we took another carriage, which was also included, back to town. And then once we got back to town, we had lunch and then went on looking for the Jack's livery stable, which is where you
self-drive carriage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they do horseback riding rentals also at their sister stable. And we checked them out. And unfortunately, my daughters were not old enough yet. So I said, we'll have to go back in 5 years so they can rent a horse to ride. They're growing up just like me. I never wanted to ride my own horses. I always wanted to ride somebody else's horse.
It's more fun when you're away. It's like hot dogs. Yes. They're better when you're not home. Right? You make them at home. They're just not the same. So let me ask you, what was it like being in a place where there's no cars? It's just all horses. That must be kind of surreal for a horse person.
I thought it was awesome. I mean, my husband was like, yeah, we couldn't have done any more than we did in one day. And I'm like, I could stay like 5 days here. It'd be great.
So now how about poop patrol? Do they have poop patrol?
They do. The streets aren't littered with manure. There are horses everywhere. I did take a few pictures of the UPS wagon, which was being drawn by a Belgian when we first got off the ferry.
Who in the accounting department at UPS sees that come across, horse care, do you think that gets questioned every year? Why exactly do we have horses again? We own a million big trucks. Why do we have a horse again?
Yeah.
And the post office too, right?
Yeah, I should have stopped and asked the guy if it was his or UPS or if they just like rented the horse for the day or what. I didn't know how that worked.
I don't know either.
And then, that was the first thing I saw when we got in the street off the ferry was the UPS truck, quote unquote truck. It was a big flatbed wagon pulled by a Belgian, and it was piled high with packages.
Oh, that's funny.
Now, and apparently from the docks, everything comes in on ferries, and from the docks where they pick up supplies, food, and all that stuff, everything mm-hmm. is carted up to town by the horses, right?
Mm-hmm.
By pickup trucks, quote unquote.
Yeah. Pickup wagons.
That must be interesting to see, too.
Yes, it was. And like the places that they were taking the touring wagons were dropping the tourists off at were educational. And they had every place we went into that the touring place dropped us off at had many different wagons and buggies. And I was in heaven because they were like, I even saw like wicker buggies and I'm like, I heard about that on the driving radio show. I know what that is. they had informational boards about shoeing and what types of shoes the horses used. And they had different size collars for the horses. And so I was telling my children that this was the pony size and you can see how big this is versus the draft size. And thankfully, my five-year-old was listening because she was pointing it out to me later on where the collar was. So that was kind of cool. They had different types of bits, but I also was noticing that they had, like, present-day bits on, like, old, old bridles. So that looked a little off to me.
Yeah. Were they all using driving bits? Now, here we're gonna do a little driving talk on horses in the morning.
No.
No?
No. They a lot of them look like they were just using egg butt or loose-ring snaffles.
I got to tell you, I posted, I don't know if you had a chance to see it yet, on the Driving Radio Show Facebook page this morning, I posted a video about the Mackinac Island, but they say it Mackinac, right?
Yes,
because it's actually written Mackinac.
Yeah.
But the Mackinac Island, this was really cool, that big, long tourist vehicle that you saw, the wagon. They mm-hmm. had pulled by two horses. They had the pit crew changing out the horses, and they were doing it for speed. And they took a pair out and put a pair on, and boy, were they fast. These guys are good. It was an impressive video.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, check it out. I mean, they had those horses unhitched and the new ones hitched in no time. And I'm assuming they have all quick release harnesses too, I would assume.
Yes, yes. They were even doing like quick changes with the rent your own carriage with those horses, because they'd pull a horse would come in from giving a ride, and then they'd take that horse off, go give it a break, food and water and everything, and then they'd put a new horse on that had been in the stable and send them right back out.
Did you actually rent your own carriage then or not? Did you not?
We did.
Okay.
We did. No, we made time for that.
And how much instruction do you get? How much instruction do you get? Or does he ask if you've ever done it before? What's the story?
They asked if I'd ever done it before. And I, as soon as I said that I had my own company, my own commercial driving company, he's like, well, I'll just make sure you get a horse that you'll appreciate.
Oh,
she
what did that
knows
mean?
How to walk. It was a younger Belgian mare. So he told me that she would walk out a little bit, but it was still really slow. It was still draft horse speed.
Yeah. Are you allowed to trot? You're not allowed to trot, are you?
He said we could trot a little bit. And instead of like doing this long drawn out trot, I just broke them up into the smaller bits.
Okay.
So, but yeah, the mare I had was named Queen, and she was very nice. And she was, I mean, they're all very, used to doing things a certain way, because when I pulled her into the portion where we were allowed to stop, I apparently pulled her in the wrong way, and she was fidgety until I turned her around and put her exactly how they
she didn't want to get in trouble.
I was supposed to put her, and then she stood there.
I'm not supposed to be here.
but I've heard people before, they like try and turn their horse around, and the horse refuses to turn around because they're not supposed to turn at that spot. Things like that. So
we know our job, darn it. It's you people that don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. That is on our bucket list. I do want to do that sometime.
Yeah, and I do have to say, one of the places that we stopped in at was the Grand Hotel barn. You don't have to pay to go into the Grand Hotel's barn.
Oh, yeah.
They have a lot of really nice restored carriages, and they even had a break in there, which I'd only known about because of the driving radio show. Those really huge carriages that you see pulled by the four in hands. So they had one of those, and we stopped in to see the horses. Now you can't go in the barn, but as we were looking in the stalls from the side, one of the grooms was walking a horse by, and he said it was a Hackney horse.
Huh.
And I know from you guys that those are very rare. So I thought that was a really neat thing to be able to do is see a Hackney horse in person. So
there
we got
you go.
He let us pet it and stuff.
Was it a high stepper? Have a lot
it
of
was
action?
Just meandering around. Okay. So it was just going down the barn aisle.
Well, Robin, thank you so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it last minute here to give us a call and let us know how your trip made out. We'd love to hear from listeners if you're doing something fun and exciting. If you've done something horsey that's a little bit different, if you're going to a big show of whatever kind, let us know. And we'd love to get you on the air to tell us about it. It's one of our favorite things that we do here on the show. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
All right. Take care. And that's Robin Donahue out of Texas. And while we were talking to Robin, I heard from a certain Jamie Jennings, Jennifer.
Really?
Really. And she said that she's still in California and she forgot. So I don't know if she forgot it was Monday or if she's just been drinking too much.
Just forgot everything.
Well, we're going to call her now in her cell and we're going to see what's up. We're going to get an update here.
Mm-hmm.
So, hi, Jamie. You're now on the air with us live here on the Horses in the Morning show. It's a show we do every Monday morning for the last 5 years.
I don't even want to know what you've been saying about me. I don't even want to know. You know,
I did just tell everybody what you said in your text, which I thought was hilarious. So I did just say that. Now, you won some money the other day. Have you just been on a drunken bender ever since then? Is that why you forgot it was Monday?
You know what? We just decided to stay. We're like, let's stay another day. I hate August. August is the worst, and I hate August. I overslept in my show in August. And so we're like, let's just stay. We're already here. So I just forgot I do a show. I forgot I work. I'm on vacation. I'm so sorry. I'm not really that
Isn't
sorry.
That what vacation's all about, though? You forget all of your troubles. So we must qualify as one of your troubles.
That's right.
Yes. Jennifer, you nailed it. Thank you very much. I'm going to refer to your wife from now on.
Well, you know, hang around in California and do nothing or talk to me in the morning. I think I'd pick nothing, too.
I don't know why. Chad woke me up. He's like, do you have a show today? And I was like, what day is it? Like it's Monday.
Well, we wanted to get you on at least for a few minutes because the listeners, I promoted all morning that you would be letting us know your magic and how you made out at the track. We already talked about the depressing American Pharoah thing. So you did make your Del Mar trip with your fancy press pass, and I happen to know how you did, but why don't you tell everybody else how what kind of day you had? And did the fancy press pass do anything for you, by the way?
Oh my gosh, let me just start you with Del Mar is spectacularly amazing. If you have a chance to go, you should go. It's like you're walking into a movie set. Like the whole thing looks like it's its own little world in the middle of San Diego. It's so beautiful, right on the water. You could see the water from the very tippy top, which is where the press box was, which was awesome. I highly recommend telling them that you're some sort of equestrian media and getting one. It was perfect. That was air conditioned.
Now that, and they allowed Chad and baby Luke to come up too. Was all
they
good.
They did. They were so nice. There's one guy who was just so absolutely nice and gave me a tour and showed me all these old pictures. It's really cool because we got there with plenty of time before the first race, just in case we needed to figure out somewhere else to go. And they were really nice. They let us in. They had food. They had ice cream for Lucas. It was the best time. We had the best time. So we stayed in there all the way up through American Pharoah's race, and I think through the next one. And it was really, it's funny. A lot of people have actually sent to me, did you see the American Pharoah race? And I'm like, not only did I see it, I was in the press box while they were broadcasting it live from Del Mar on the main tote board. You know, that's out in the middle of the infield.
What was the reaction?
Oh, my gosh. Everybody was just, well, you know, immediately following it. Because I'm at Del Mar, which is where American Pharoah lives. So everybody at Del Mar was like, what do you know? You shouldn't have gone to that race. Everybody was like, why would you fly him across the country twice in 3 weeks to go out there and race? He was exhausted. There's no way he should have gone there. I mean, that was kind of the sentiment, which is exactly what I believe I said to you guys last Wednesday or any discussion leading up to the Travers. I'm like, this is the silliest thing I've ever heard, you know? And so I didn't think that it was the right thing to do. And my sentiments were completely mirrored by every journalist in that press box, for sure. So that was the kind of the first reaction. And then one journalist, these guys are like actual real racehorse
They actually write
you know?
Things? Like
They actually write things. They're not just walking around Del Mar with a baby in a stroller.
Yeah, you're just
like,
having ice cream.
They're like working for a living. And one guy was like, that's it. He goes, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to fake an injury and retire him. He goes, that happens all the time. I was like, don't tell me these things. I don't want to know about these behind the scenes faking injuries. And he was kind of a saltier guy anyway, though. But he said they're going to fake an injury and retire him. I, of course, you know me, couldn't just let that go. And I had to get into a discussion with these people who know a lot more about racehorses than me. But then I'm like, there's no way. I go, first of all, let me tell you something. He needs to run in the Breeders' Cup. And does I have to want to run him in the Breeders' Cup? They're going to do anything they can to get him there. Yes, they made a bad decision. And I'm sure Bob Beppert is thinking, I shouldn't have listened to them. I should have run him. Anyway, we don't need to get into the whole American Thoroughbred thing. But I did argue with some actual real journalists
What's funny since then, and I don't know if you've seen this, but the Zayat said, that may have been his last race. And the jockey came out and said, I was intentionally pushed. I think they were trying to hurt American Feral. And also Espinosa said that he was so hot and sweaty before the race started. He's never seen him like that before. His mane was soaked. So everything that journalist said might have been right.
I don't want to hear any more about it.
It's just so funny that you say all that and then this all came out. But anyway, so how did you do? Let's talk about you.
Okay. I have a new formula.
Yeah, I want to know what this is, Bookie Jamie.
It's so nerdy. Like, it's such a studied, nerdy formula that I came up with. And I bought the daily racing form, the big one, the one with all the works in it, the one with the one that you don't understand.
Yeah, the one that I don't get at all. Yeah.
Right. And if you remember Frankie Lovato, actually, what was his little thing that he did every day? He gave a racing term every day for 365 days, which I really have learned a lot from those. So I take what I learned from that. Do you really want the nitty-gritty details of how I was doing it? It's kind of dorky.
Okay, yeah. I want to know how to win money at the track. Everybody's waiting to know. You won, what, 6 of 8 races or something?
6 out of 7, and I only didn't win the 7th because the horse that I had picked, I exacta boxed it. Uh-huh. And so I actually did pick the winner. I just didn't pick the second place horse.
And
I seriously knew who every winner was.
And
was
you came up, $250 ahead?
Yeah, $250 ahead. And of course, you know me, I only bet $2 race. Chad's like, I don't know how anybody wins $250 betting $2.
So, all right. So what's the magic formula? Everybody wants to know.
Okay. So this is kind of boring to some, but I took the name of the horse, the rider, the trainer. I kind of looked all that together, each single one. And then I looked at how far the race was. And then I looked at the most recent performances and I looked at the buyer speed figures. Then I took the buyer speed figures and I took a couple highest. And then I looked at their past performances and their works, and I just wanted to see if any of them had recent bullet works, Glenn. So I took the buyer speed figures and the bullet works, and then I put that together with their past performances, and I looked who had run against
Squirrel.
Who, and any of the black tight exactly.
I'm out. That's just way too complicated.
That's what I was telling you. I said you're going to be born in tears listening to this. Even Chad was like, okay, that's good. I'll just keep doing that.
Yeah, what's the name again? What's the cool name? And that's funny.
I know. But you know what was my, actual reason that I did so well, I think, is because I didn't go out to the paddock and pick the pretty horse one time. Because that's usually what I do, is I go out there and I'm like, that one's so pretty. I think that one's going to win. And then that horse, of course, needs to go be a dressage horse really slow because it loses. And so I didn't go out to the paddock one time. I did see them out the paddock. On my way out, we went and looked at a couple of them, and I didn't gamble a bit after that. So we went everywhere. I was in the press box. I was on the finish line. I was everywhere. It was absolutely awesome. And Del Mar is really fun. Their infield is a whole nother world. They had, it's a permanent structure in the infield. It's not like Keeneland where it's just grass. It's like they have a concrete pad. They have buildings. They had bounce houses. They had stuff for kids. They had people walking around on stilts. It was really, really cool.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. Now tell everybody, I asked you to bet on one particular horse because I always bet on the fourth horse in the fourth race to win. And it just happened that horse's name was?
What was his name? It was something funny.
I'm looking up. You sent me a text here. I'm trying to find it right now.
Buff Dude.
That was appropriate. Did Buff Dude win? Did I win any money?
I even, by the time it was the fourth race, I was down there. I even took some photographs of Buff Dude. He was a gorgeous chestnut. I think at some point you even texted me back because I've been texting pictures of Buff Dude. Like, he looks like Secretariat. Which he's
yes.
Chestnut. Like, settle down.
He didn't win, did he?
And Buff Dude gave it hell, Glenn. He gave it hell. But he actually lost by, like, a nose, I think, or a neck. So maybe a lynx. I don't know. He came in second. You should maybe take your fourth race, your fourth horse, and bet them to show. You can't bet fourth place, so you should bet it for third place.
And I was looking at the program that you took a picture of, the page of the program you took a picture of. Are there any non-Mexican Spanish jockeys anymore? Any?
Well, I think that there's a lot of Hispanic jockeys, but also I think that because of Saratoga, there's not all of the kind of...
Oh, the top name jockeys.
Say A-list, yeah. But a lot of the super top jockeys are on the East Coast.
I did see Corey Nakatani was on your list there, so he's still down there.
Tyler Bates. There's there's some American guys, but definitely I think that most of the top jockeys, if not all the top jockeys, no disrespect to any of the jockeys listening that ran at Del Mar, I think that the A-listers are all at Saratoga.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. It sounded like fun. The pictures were great. It just looked like you were having a marvelous day, and I'm so happy for that. We'll let you get back to your pseudo-unannounced vacation.
I can't hang out. I did sneak out of the hotel room, so I certainly can't hang out. I'm sitting in the business center of the DoubleTree Hilton.
Well, that's up to you. We're going to call Leslie here in a second and get her on for the Wacky World of Horses. I'll let it up to you whether you want to hang out or not.
Okay, well, I'll hang out. That's fine.
All right, cool. Very good. Well, let's do this. We haven't heard from Equestrian Collections yet. We're going to do that, and then we're going to come back with Leslie from the Wacky World of Horses, Horse Nation. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week, I'm going to be featuring the MDC Super Sport Stirrup. They actually come in two styles, but basically the thing that sets these apart are the footbed. A lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with the MDC stirrup line because they're really top-of-the-line stirrups. They're the ones that have the little turny thing at the top where you can put your feet at any angle for comfort and to make your feet more correct in the stirrup. But this new one has a very wide base with non-stick aluminum padding. That base is about 2.5 to 3 inches wide. And when you put your foot in that stirrup, you are secure. Your foot doesn't slip. You won't feel like your foot is going to slip. You really feel secure. It's great for fox hunters. Particularly, we were thinking fox hunters would love these because there's lots of good stability. And also, they come in with a flex side, the flexible hinge, which you can move your foot back and forth and you can feel that, or they come in the more traditional one without that flexible hinge for those who want a more traditional look like in the show ring. But if you're the jumpers, the fox hunters, anybody, beginners, anybody that wants a really solid feel should get these stirrups. We've had trainers that got on my friend's horse who has this stirrup, and she said, "Oh my God, where did you get these? Because they feel so good." Now, they're not inexpensive. The ones with the flexible hinges are $200, $199.95. So they are for the serious rider, but I highly recommend them. Really, the minute you put your foot in them, you're going to feel completely different and a lot more secure.
Well, and the other thing about MDC is it's top quality stuff. This is the good stuff. This is made to last, and it will last. Yeah, I highly recommend it. Anybody that even also has any kind of knee or leg issues, they'll find that these will help alleviate some of that as well. And, of course, this is the MDC Super Sport Stirrups and MDC other stirrups on there as well at equestriancollections.com. Just search for MD as in dog, C as in Charlie.
And I also want to mention trail riders. They are great for riding on hilly trails, too, for that secure feel.
Especially with the wider foot base, that would be
exactly.
That would be good. NBC Thanks, Glenn. Super Sports Stirrups at EquestrianCollections.com. And thank you to Equestrian Collections for their continued support here of Horses in the Morning. Speaking of continued support, there's somebody else that supports us all the time. Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses. Well, good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us again today. We're like back on schedule again.
Yay!
Does that mean you're staying home for more than a week?
For more than a week, slightly. Yeah. I just found out, last week, that I am going, I'm going to the American Eventing Championships in Texas at the end of this month. And then a couple weeks after that in October, I'm going to Buccalo.
To Buccalo.
it's in the Netherlands. It's their big event there. So that'll be cool.
Wow. You can do all this fun travel.
How did you score this job all of a sudden that they're just sending you all over the world?
I think we made the job up, and it just happens to be working out.
That's awesome.
Jamie, you're working for the wrong company. You're working.
Yep. Hey, listen, I'm the glamorous one right here. I'm sitting in the business center at the Doubletree on a cell phone. It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, in where, San Diego? Are you still in California, right?
I'm still in Cali, baby. Wait, I think the Netherlands sounds cooler.
Yeah, I do too. I was just thinking that. Well, now, so Jamie can't see. I don't know that Jamie can see our show notes, so I'm sure she'll chime in here. So the first thing you wanted to talk about, getting back to normal here today, well, maybe not so normal with your first story, and that's about some expensive stuff again.
Yeah, expensive stuff. We are obsessed with it because we can't actually own it.
Right.
We can gawk at it, that's for sure. So Kristen found this swirling around on Facebook last week. We've talked about Hermé stuff on the show before.
Yep.
They have ridiculously expensive but beautiful, but sometimes you're like, really? That's that that hoof pick is $260, and that $300 D-ring snaffle looks pretty much about the same as the
$25 one,
$25 stainless steel version. But the latest find is this beautiful $475 prop. It is pretty, but this is the kind of thing that I would like drop it in the woods on the first time I went on a trail ride and lose it forever.
It's just a little crop. It looks like every other little crop in the store. Yeah, it has a leather handle, but still.
Yeah, it's got a leather handle. That's got to be
a bag. It comes with a bag.
Yeah. Comes with a bag.
The one you have pictured here is blue. It has a blue handle and a blue whapper. I don't know what that thing's called. I call it a whapper.
Yeah. It really is pretty, but it gets posted on page, this Facebook group. I think it's called High End Tack or something. And people just go nuts, of course. Like and the reactions are all over the map. From stunning and wow to people that are like, I'll go get a stick. grab a stick off the tree. It just got funnier and funnier. The responses. There is, of course, a 50 Shades of Gray.
Yeah, and I like this one. This one is, you may also try putting it on the alternative lifestyle pages on Facebook. Might have a better chance of selling it, actually.
Yeah.
So Leslie, I did, being in California, I got to tell you guys just about something that I witnessed this weekend, and I did see a girl walking around in equestrian fashion.
Is this the picture you posted?
I did post it.
Did you see how much action it got, that picture and activity?
Did it really? I haven't rechecked it.
Oh, my God. A ton of comments and likes and shares all over the place.
Is it on the Horses in the Morning?
Yeah, it's on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Just scroll down a bit, and you'll see a girl standing there with a dog. Go ahead, Jamie.
No, but I also, that was the first day I got here on Friday. Now, that person left, but there is maybe this is why she was dressed like that, but there is a jumper show, I guess, going on around the Del Mar area, and I saw yesterday at morning at breakfast, there were these two girls, actually it was like an entire table, but these two girls walking around, and they had some riding clothes. And of course, because of the last person, I said, hi, do you guys ride? And they were like, looked at me like, of course we do. We're dressed like we ride, you know? And I said, I'm sorry. There were some people here in the fashion, but did not ride before. And so we ended up started talking, and they were like, what kind of horses do you have? And at this point, I'm noticing that they have those like Animo riding pants, which I Googled later, which were our $475 riding pants. Like, she was wearing a pair of $25 socks. Okay. Like the outfit that this girl had on, it was like some sort of show shirt, but the underarm part of it were lace. And it was like the most high end riding.
Oh, Leslie
outfit
wears
I've
that stuff
seen.
All the time.
Well, and then I realized, Leslie, that they were so not eventers when they said to me, oh, do you have horses? I said, yes, I event. I've got a 2 off-the-track thoroughbreds and a Mustang. And I said, what do you have? She goes, oh, I have 4 Rhinelanders.
Oh.
I was like, I'm in the wrong conversation. Like, I'm talking to the wrong person. You bore. And she goes, but I'd love to have property. You know, boarding. I just love to have them at my house. And I said, you, in San Diego, California, board 4 giant warm bloods. Like, I don't even know what a Rhinelander is. It's probably that expensive of a warm blood. And your outfit is, I think I did the math while I was sitting there. I was giggling on my phone, like, how much these riding pants
such
cost.
Such a horse girl.
I know. And her outfit was literally a $1,200 riding outfit. So I just wanted to ask her, I said, I wanted to go, I'm sorry, what do you do for a living? Like, where
they don't do anything for a living, Jamie. That's what's the point.
Well, where does it come from? I mean,
mommy and daddy.
I'm very rich.
Or mommy and daddy, you know, that's where it comes from.
I just don't even understand it. I was like, this is the difference between a vendor. Because an inventor would never pay $475 for a pair of riding pants. It just wouldn't happen. Am I right?
I got to tell you, I don't know if you found that picture she posted, Leslie, but Jamie, I know you haven't had a chance to read the comments, but they got cruel, actually. It was,
really?
Yes. There were a lot of comments about, I love that you asked her, and then some people about seeing bridges, people riding in bridges everywhere. And then the comments started getting cruel and said, of course she doesn't ride. You actually need buns to grip the saddle. Poor thing would slide right off. Because this girl had really tiny buns. No. And then the next one was, she doesn't ride. You have to have a backside for it. Very little muscle. And then it goes on about her backside. It really does continue there.
She was tiny and adorable, and of course people are going to hate on her. But I was just noticing, like, I just thought that there's not a speck of dirt on her riding clothes. You know, this is the one that didn't ride. And there's not a speck of dirt on it. And her coach bag is like the one she was holding when her little Tinkerbell dog.
No.
That was not a fake coach bag. It's like a $500 coach bag. There's just so much money around here. It's crazy. That's funny, all these comments. Okay. I'm going to have to read them all.
Yeah, you're going to have to take
a
look.
Funny. Yeah.
It did go cruel, Hannah. It's funny how quickly things go cruel in a situation where you got a cute girl with a cute dog and standing there in her $1,200 outfit. Hey, I got a story. We got your next story, Leslie. 8 more examples of equine destruction. And it's tell us what it is. It's pictures of horses and the things they've done.
Well, we do this photo challenge each week. And Kristen always comes up with the best topics. And last week's theme was cases of equine destruction. Like, send us your photos of things your horses have destroyed. And people sure did send us a bunch of hilarious photos. Horses have taken out stall walls to get to, like, you know, their buddy, or lots of fences down. Let's see. There's one horse clearly got into the tack room, pooped all over it, yeah, and like just destroyed everything.
Just ripped all the buckets open, and
yeah,
he's looking for that food. He didn't find it. Saddles on the floor.
This one horse appears to have drug a like an armchair out into its paddock and ripped it apart.
That's a horse with issues right there. You guys weren't here earlier in the show. I got to tell you, speaking of horses wrecking things, I went to get Beaker the other day over the weekend, and he's in a back paddock, and that paddock's really big. It's several acres, and it has nice fencing all the way around, except at the gate area, the post, a tree had come down and broke the post. So we just put two gates together, you know, tied them together with baler twine kind of thing. Uh-huh. Well, when I went out to pick him up, all the sand around the gate had been churned up, like Beaker was having a cow and bucking and carrying on. He was out there by himself, which was odd, and it was just all churned up like he was doing some serious rearing and chasing and things. And the two gates were pushed in about 4 feet. So he had very obviously crashed those gates that were together. They didn't break the baler twine, interestingly enough, but he had pushed them in about 4 feet. So we knew something had happened. And then it was the next day. We were talking about this earlier in the show. We start getting emails through the email thread here in the neighborhood and somebody took pictures of a very large exotic cat, which we think is a leopard. That is loose in the neighborhood, has been spotted by many
bobcat
and
bobcat.
No, we said it wasn't a bobcat because it has a tail.
And, yeah, but you said leopard.
Yeah, well, we don't think it's a
panther.
Bobcat. A panther. That's right. Panther. Sorry, I'm getting my big cat.
Straight.
Well, we're not sure. We think it got loose from somebody's private collection. There's no reason it should be around here. The other morning, I put Glory out in the backyard, same day, and all of a sudden, this large cat, which I thought was a large cat, took off through our backyard and cleared the fence by about a foot and was booking. And Glory had a bead on him. He was flying. So we think that maybe this cat and Beaker had a little bit of a scuffle in the back paddock. And that's why...
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we
no
have,
scratches?
No.
Okay?
Well, he had a cut on his leg, but we thought it was from the fence, you know, from hitting the fence so hard. But who knows? I don't know, you know, what was going on. Usually a cat that size wouldn't take on a horse. There's enough chickens and squirrels and other things in the neighborhood that they wouldn't take on a horse. But we definitely have some exotic, large feline running around.
Goodness. Yeah, I don't. I think if it was a leopard, you might want to call somebody pretty quick.
Well, they actually, I think they contacted animal control because the one guy got blurry pictures through his window, and it's definitely not a, you know, like native bobcat. It's something bigger. Yeah. Fun. And then the last story, which we touched on last week, Leslie, which was Victor Espinoza going to Dancing with the Stars. Is that confirmed?
That is confirmed. Apparently. I know. Isn't that crazy? That sounds... Yeah. He's so tiny, right?
Well, that's what... There's an ad now. I saw it the other day because I follow kind of the actor TV forums.
Uh-huh.
And there's an ad for very tiny dancers. They're looking for a 5-foot dancer for a TV show. And I figured it had to be that.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if he's even 5 foot. Huh.
Can't be much more than that. We were joking about that last week. You could see him dancing out there with one of these 6-foot lanky dancer girls.
Yeah, maybe like she'll be doing the lifts and lifting him up and turning him around. That'd be an interesting spin
around.
On the throw him around.
Well, he's used to that. The horses throw him around all the time. So Well, it'll be interesting to see if he, like, has, you know, they obviously have balance. Jockeys have tremendous balance.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You would think he'd pick this up pretty quickly.
Yeah, he's got to be coordinated and athletic, so.
Did it come out who any of his competition was?
No. All I've seen is this very short little promo where he's putting on, like, a sparkly, it's like a glitter covered riding helmet. It's like you guys have to click on this little Facebook video that he posted. It's like, I'm like, how do you get I'm like whatever about the show, like, where did you get that helmet? It's crazy.
I want
so
it.
It's bedazzled, so bedazzled.
Victor Espinosa is 5'2", just so because I googled
right.
it.
Do you guys want to know who else is going to be his competitors on there?
Yes.
Nick Carter, singer, songwriter, and actor. Backstreet Boys band. Shaka Khan is going to be on there.
Shaka Khan.
Victor Espinosa. Hayes Grayer. 15 years old, she's a rising star in the social media world. Jeez, they are going down to D and E celebrities now. Bindi Irwin, a 17-year-old Australian wildlife conservationist.
That's Steve Irwin's daughter.
It is. You're right. It's Steve Irwin's daughter. That's what it says here. Well, that's cool. Alexa Penavega, also known in her role as Carmen Cortez in 4 blockbuster Spy Kids films.
Okay.
Carlos Penavega, shot fame and a cult status for starring in highly successful Nickelodeon comedies.
Woo. Wow, this is a grasping for straws. Yeah, and they're going to be coming for you guys next. Glenn and Jamie,
next host of the stars. Yeah, a podcasting couple from. I think
they're like past the B, C, D list.
We're at Z if they come for us.
We're going to be dancing against SpongeBob SquarePants and Nickelodeon fame.
Miss Piggy.
Now that she's single, maybe she'd turn and get divorced. So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So I think looking at that list, I think that Nick Carter has the distinct advantage, being that he is a professional dancer.
Shaka Khan might have a shot, right? He's 10-time Grammy Award winner.
I don't really know.
10-time Grammy Award winner back in the day. But I don't know. He's got
that means he can
Victor.
Sing.
Victor can win. We're rooting for Victor.
You can do it, Victor.
Go, Victor. That's funny. All right. Well, thank you so much, Leslie, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Of course, it's horsenation.com is where you can find everything wacky over there.
Sure thing. Have a great week, guys.
All right. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Right, bye, Leslie. So funny. They're going to be coming for you guys next.
I got to tell you, if they're coming for me, I will be the first one out. At least you have a shot to go in like 2 or 3 deep.
Me?
Yeah.
Have you ever? I dance as good as I sing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's amazing. Trust me. But would you, if they came to you and said, hey, we want to put you on Dancing with the Stars, would you do it?
I would say, how much does that pay again? And then I would say, yes. How much do you think that does pay anyway? You think they pay him anything?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they pay him. Let's see, I knew a guy who was on the weight loss episode, and he made like $75,000 an episode, so I think we could do it.
Oh, here it is. I found it. The celebs reportedly make $125,000 just for doing the show, plus more the longer they stay.
So a balloon payment and then every week.
So, okay, well, let's use that. For $125,000, I'd make a fool of myself. That's quick money. I'd be out the first show. It'd be good. I'd be done.
$125,000. Sign me up. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, when you look at this lineup, you realize I always knew they went for B and C to list celebrities. But whew, we're down to M at this point. That's funny.
You know, David Hasselhoff was on one of them, and he's pretty A-lister. So how can you even say that?
David Hasselhoff was an A-lister in the 1970s.
I know, I'm kidding, Glenn. Oh. Jesus, I can't get my sarcasm on the phone. It's terrible.
You know where he is, an A-lister, though, is in Germany. He's huge there.
He was. I think he got out like the first show, actually, because he was really bad.
Yeah, that'd be me. You know what kind of musical ability I have. At least you might make it. See, you'd make it to the second round because I'd be out first.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I would beat you.
You'd get an extra like $15,000 for being there for the second round.
And I would say thank you all the way to the bank as I got eliminated on WeakKids.
That's funny. All right. Well, I don't think they're going to be calling us anytime soon. They have a few more.
It's nice to think about, though.
They have a few more YouTube stars to go before they get to us.
Oh my. We need to get YouTube famous, and then we'll get selected. We're not social media enough.
That's right. You're right. We're
let's
not.
Let's put our brains together. No. Let's think about this.
Well, so are you heading back today, or are you what's the plan?
Yep, we're going to head back as soon as Chad has to get to, he had today off, but they called him in, so now we have to leave pretty soon. So I was going to enjoy one more morning by the pool, but it's not to be. So we're going to pretty much get packed up and head out.
Well, I did see, and I'm sure some of the listeners are curious, you had posted before you left, I think it was Thursday, that you guys had some wicked storms and you had a tree come down.
Yes, we had a tree come down. We had all sorts of mess happen. It's the monsoon season, and it was just the weirdest thing. We were going to leave really early Friday morning, but we had to do cleanup. You know, Chad busted out his chainsaw. But we saw the storm coming, and a big dirt tornado thing. Like, not just a dust, like a little dust swirly thing. Like a dirt tornado came through, hit the house. And that had passed by, and so we went outside, and we're looking around, and my tack room is a separate building, and we have one tree that kind of branches tend to fall when we realize it's probably not going to last much longer. Chad's like, we should probably watch out and not stand so close to under that tree. And at that moment, we hear crack, 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 and he goes, run!
Oh, no.
So we both took off running. And seriously, the tree came down very close to where we're standing. But it didn't. It landed on my tack room, which is where we were. But it didn't break the roof. So we were able to take cut the tree off of it and, you know, got all like Mr. Chainsaw. But that was the next day, because then after that, we got another windstorm. And then we had hail and we had lightning and rain.
You guys never get
power
that.
Out. We've never had hail
since
I've lived there, for sure. It was crazy. Poor horses, you know, when you have 7 stalls and 8 horses, somebody's gonna have to take one from the team. And I will not tell you who stood out in the hail, because I just can't do that. I don't want to let you guys know. But one of them just had to take it. I felt so bad for him as I watched him from my window. I was like, Mommy, sorry.
Guess who's going to be building a new stall next weekend?
Yeah.
I tell you, it wasn't my horse. It wasn't my Mustang, okay? The one who could probably handle it the most stayed in the stall.
Yeah, the one that's been hailed on before stayed in.
He stayed in. He's mine. He's my favorite.
Well, fortunately, we missed the whole hurricane down here. It kind of fizzled out, and we've just gotten some rain, which we get every day, so it's kind of not a big deal. We missed this hurricane. Thank goodness we don't need to do that again anytime soon. So
good.
You had it worse than us.
Okay.
So
it was pretty crazy, and I guess we had another storm yesterday, so we'll have to go home and assess more damage, I'm sure. But you know what? I'm on vacation. I don't care what happens at home.
Apparently.
Apparently, I don't care if I have to work.
I just got a message from Uta who said, gosh, that was cute. She forgot.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I totally forgot. I'm on vacation. But alas, the vacation is about to come to an end. But I do appreciate it.
All right, well, next time, let us know, okay, that you're going on vacation. That'd be good. I'm just saying.
I let you know. I just decided to stay on vacation.
No, we managed. We managed, and you didn't want to hear that depressing race all over again. So,
no, yeah. I did not. Yeah. If they retire him, we're getting Justin Zayat back on the phone, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Tomorrow morning, are you back tomorrow morning with Emily? Right.
Oh, my God, I'm glad you reminded me.
Emily would be disappointed if you're not here. So I don't know that she quite wants to do the show by herself. But so Emily will be here with the jumping episode. You guys can compare 400. Now, Emily is the one that sells those expensive outfits that the people are buying there in California.
God love her. I didn't think people bought those things, but they do.
They
man.
Do.
They do.
They do. Well, she'll be back tomorrow, and then we'll both be back here on Wednesday morning. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Thank you for joining us, Jamie. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Glenn. You know what? It's call me earlier.
Okay.
You know, put me on the show live when I'm still asleep.
All right. No problem. We'll do that next time. All right. Take care, everybody. Thanks.
All right. Bye, Neuter Gal. Bye, guys.